This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan from the 760. Thank you, KMC. I was having a pretty bad day. Just got in my truck on my way to work listening to y'all turn my day around. Thank you for putting a smile back on my face. And I totally understand that because last week I walked into a bar with a pair of jumper cables and the bartender goes, "Hey, don't be starting anything."
I knew it was a joke because you don't go into bars. You go to places where they sell illegal drugs, and we've tried
what
to work
the hell?
On you with that.
All right, Corey has got a trade update for us.
The New Orleans Saints have moved on from Marshawn Lattimore, sending him to the Washington Commanders for a third rounder and more. Yeah, we'll find out what the more process is there.
No, I think they mean
Kellen Moore.
No. Perhaps more compensation draft-wise.
Extra. Yeah, so that's a team that's recognizing that they have a quarterback. Their head coach has turned everything around in there. They feel like they can legitimately win this division. And they said, "We stink at stopping people from throwing on us. We got to figure out how to fix that." And so they said, "We got to go get a shutdown corner." And they go and get Marshawn Lattimore, who had a lot of interest from what we're seeing.
Yeah.
My first question to you guys, this is a crazy trade here.
Because it's Mike Hassall, the football question.
The Bengals have traded for Herbert.
What? Khalil Herbert?
Yeah, I saw that this morning. Khalil Herbert is...
Herbert and Burrow now.
He's 10th in broken tackle
right now
since 2022.
Is it A-Bear?
I think it's because
it says Herbert. It says Bengals trade for Herbert.
For half a second, I really thought you meant Justin Herbert, and I was like, "What?"
I got you.
Mission accomplished.
No, it's
Mike.
Bears running back.
Okay,
Herbert, because Moss is down.
Yes.
Okay. My first football question, and you can break in, Corey, if there's more trades coming down. I will say this. There's more trades in the last few years than there has been
decades. Yeah, like, I agree.
Teams do, I guess they helped out salary cap-wise to make these more tradable.
Yeah.
All right, right now, the Cowboys have the 11th pick in the draft. Right behind them, picking 12th, would be the Colts at 4-5. And there's other teams at 4-5. The Cowboys are at 3-5. The 10th pick in the draft right now goes to the New York Jets. Do you think at the end of the year, the Cowboys will have a worse record than the Jets?
No. Yes, I think they'll have the same record as the Jets.
Oh, interesting. I just don't know how many games. They're already a bad team.
I'm going to put an X next to yours as they don't move up a spot.
Okay.
Okay, so this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to see where you guys think they're going to move up to. Next team, Tennessee Titans. Will the Cowboys have a worse record than the Titans?
No.
Okay. Will the Cowboys have a worse record than the Miami Dolphins?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Okay. Will they have a worse record than the New York Giants?
No.
Okay. Will they have a worse record than the Las Vegas Raiders?
No.
Okay. Will they have a worse record than the Cleveland Browns? They hold the tiebreaker, so if you say it's tied, then the Cowboys.
This is tough. Because Jameis comes
they're
in.
They're 2-7. All
awesome.
These teams, by the way, picks 1-7 are all 2-7 right now.
I don't think so
they
either.
They all have the same record.
Okay. I'll say no.
Okay, so both say no to Cleveland. Carolina Panthers, that's an easy one. They're horrible. New Orleans Saints, I guess if they have the same record, then you move ahead of them.
Will the Saints ever win again? Like, now they're shipping off pieces.
Man, that's true. So I'm going to say no to them as well.
Okay. Jacksonville and New England.
No. Jacksonville is a mess.
So now I'm going to ask you this really quick question here, Kevin. You have them being better than all 10 teams that are ahead of them. Now, I think they're going to lose their next four games.
Or at least even with.
Yeah.
I think they're going to lose their next three games, and then they'll beat New York.
Okay.
Can I add something to this Commanders conversation? Thank you, Alec, for this. The GM... Adam Peters, isn't he the guy from, did he come from the Golden State Warriors? He turned Jahan Dotson into Marshawn Lattimore. during the offseason. They traded Dotson for a third rounder. And then they took the third rounder and flipped it for Marshawn Lattimore. That is called savvy.
Yeah, that is impressive. Business.
So Corey has them moving up two spots by the end of the year. So Corey, you have them picking ninth overall. You had them moving up over. You said the Jets and Miami would end up having a better record than the Cowboys. Kevin, you said either tied or nobody. Yes. So you have them as, I'll just put right now, picking 11th. I will ask you the teams that are 4-5 right now. The Colts, the Bengals, the Buccaneers, and the Seahawks. Are they going to have a better record than any of those teams that are all 4-5?
I don't think so. Like, I think where they are now is kind of where I think they'll be in that 6-11, 7-10-ish range.
So, so you have them as the 9th overall pick. You have them as the 11th overall pick. I ask you this question based off of, if you heard G-Bag Nation, we're not going to have time to replay the argument, but right around 9-11 could be where the running back from here / Boise State is going to be picked. Okay, maybe he goes a little bit higher and it doesn't become a deal, but right around 10, it could get interesting. Will you be upset or excited today if the Cowboys take the number one running back in the draft?
I think I'll be excited. I understand all of the football reasons I should be upset. I'm not disputing any of Eric's points, but this kid looks unfreaking believable.
I wouldn't be upset about it at all. And my reason being is because you're at the top of the draft every round, too. So I think that they're going to continue adding quality players at the top of those rounds. Whenever they've had these opportunities to be there, they usually do pretty well. So I think that, like, listen, man, give me a good running back. Give me somebody that I can get excited about. If there's something better there, I'm going to be upset about it, right? If I'm looking at him going, no, there's something even better than that, then I'm going to be upset. But no, I'll be perfectly fine with it.
I could be wrong here, but looking at this tankathon where teams are picking, there is not a first round pick traded in this year's draft. Everybody has their pick.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That feels unlikely that too,
usually
right?
There's like three or four teams that have multiple picks and two or three teams that don't have a pick because they've traded picks. But as of right now, unless I'm wrong and somebody can correct me, everybody has their pick. There are no picks in the 2025 draft in the first round that have been traded.
That would be wild.
I find that very interesting. All right. This is going to be a Cooper Rush, Dak Prescott question.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, and I'm just going to, I think you guys are going to agree with me on this. 10 being like the best, Patrick Mahomes. He's a 10 on the 1 to 10 scale of a quarterback. You can name whatever horrible quarterback.
Sure.
Now, I'm not trying to take a shot at Trey Lance here, but like, let's say Trey Lance comes to mind as like a 1 right now.
Okay.
Where do you have Dak Prescott on a 1 to 10 scale in quarterback, like tier or rankings, however you want to do it, 10 being the best, being Patrick Mahomes? And where do you have Cooper Rush? How big of a drop-off is there between Dak Prescott and Cooper Rush?
Significant.
All right, well, give me your number on Dak, where he is on your board, and where Cooper Rush is on a board.
If I had Dak, I don't know, if I had him ranked right now, I would have him ranked in the 20s. He's...
I hear what he's saying.
Okay.
I'm going to let him go here and then just give me a 1 to 10
okay.
scale.
I'll give him a 7.
All right, 7 out of 10.
Agreed.
And okay. So I have Cooper Rush as a 2.
I have Cooper Rush as a 4.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking about having Cooper Rush as a 5, and I might be over-ranking him. I think 2 is like probably shouldn't be in the NFL.
I think he's going to be exposed with this team. I think that this team is not good. And Dak looked terrible behind them, and I think Cooper Rush is going to look even worse behind this offensive line.
Okay.
And the fact that this defense can't do anything to help him out either, I just do not have any hope at the moment.
Kevin, your opinion here is closer as a 7-4. It's not close.
No.
But it's closer than 7-2.
True.
Corey, I'm speaking for you, but also I listened to you there. You're kind of saying Cooper Rush might not be an NFL quarterback, like a backup. If you're a 2 out of a 10, you're like cuttable and maybe out of the league next year. Is a 7-4. Does that scare you that you're paying the most for a quarterback that's a 7 on your board of 10?
Absolutely.
And you said that, but we've said that previously.
Going into it, that terrifies me. It really, really does. And the fact that you went so far over what had been the previous high market, like the previous high was 55, and we're like, we're 60. That scares me too. I don't love the way that came together at all, but there's nothing we can do about it.
In a way, are you hoping the Cowboys get smeared the next three games so you feel better about Dak Prescott? Because what if in some crazy world, and I do not think they're doing this, they go 2-1 and they average 25 points in these three games? And you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
To me, I would be like, holy cow, there's not much of a drop-off. Corey, I think in a way you're hoping that Cooper Rush is pathetic.
Not really.
Because then it makes Dak go, look, this isn't Dak's fault at all.
If they did that, the whole team turned around. Not just the quarterback, the whole team. Because they're giving up the booty every week, but they're also giving it up on the offensive line. Dak's running for his life most of the time. You know what I mean? Cooper Rush is going to run for his life and be okay? That's what I'm saying is the team is that poor. So if they turn it around and start doing something like that, that tells me that the entire thing changed. And I don't know what the reason was for it other than maybe do they love Cooper Rush more? Or do they all get their S together because they just got their quarterback injured? That's what it would tell me. And I'm still trying to figure out, like, this is a dude, he didn't play in 2020. He's 2 years, $5 million contract with the Cowboys. Why didn't other, if he was that, if he's the, well, I guess because the Cowboys overpaid for the backup. That must be the reason.
See, and I don't think they overpaid for the backup. The thing that I don't like about this is he's out of contract after this year. So if he shows he was amazing, I kind of wish he was under contract for another year. So then you could try to deal him or figure something out there. But if he plays amazing, you need to hope he plays amazing enough to get them back in the playoffs, or else you're just killing your draft pick.
I also got to figure out, is he going to, I mean, CeeLamb is his key weapon. And CeeLamb was his best receiver, I believe, the year that he did what he did too, right? When he won was four and one.
Yeah.
Because CeeLamb like kind of had the coming out party then. I'm very interested to see if he can do that with Jalen Tolbert and Jonathan Mingo and Kevontae Turpin. If he can make those guys better. I don't know.
Off of Jerry Jones's comment that the worst decision he ever made was letting go of Wade Phillips when all 31 teams decided to never hire him as a head coach. Thanks for that, Jerry. Like, it was such a mistake. All the NFL teams were telling you it was such a mistake. None of them hired him as a head coach. That's amazing to me. Does Jerry, even though I don't think he's telling the truth on the Wade Phillips thing, he's just creating a new storyline for us to talk about. Do you think he feels that way about Dan Quinn? If he had to do it all over again the day after losing to Green Bay, do you think he regrets not firing Mike McCarthy that day and hiring Dan Quinn as the head coach?
I think I do, because it seems like Jerry makes a lot of these decisions based on what are the results after the fact. Because when he mentioned Wade Phillips, he didn't just say it was such a huge mistake. He goes, this is a huge mistake, because then he went on and won the Super Bowl. So I think he sees the success of Quinn.
Could
right
have
now.
Rehired him, by the way. He could have just fired Jason Garrett the next year and hired Wade Phillips back. Like, 3 years later, he could have done it. 5 years later, he could have done it. Wade Phillips was available the whole time as a head coach. How come you just didn't rehire him as the head coach?
Jerry, go ahead. Jerry never regrets anything. He never looks back at failures. Only looks back at the positive.
All right.
I mean, that is true that he only looks back at the positives. That does feel
correct.
I was
just thinking about the 7-2 Washingtons, and I know he paid a lot of money to have him as his defensive coordinator. Yeah. And there, I think people probably would have been upset that you're just keeping the defensive coordinator and elevating him to head coach. But I just wonder if he thinks that way about Wade Phillips, what does he think about the dude who left, has a rookie quarterback with a team that he thought he had more talent than? Jerry thought he had more talent than Washington, and a way better quarterback and a way better wide receiver and a way better pass rusher and way better all these things. And that dude's 7-2 in Washington.
Man. Somebody walks in with a really good vision and
I think
plan
we're
going to
hear
execute
10
it.
Years from now how he's going to, well, I don't know if he'll be around. That's 90 something years old. But like, I just wonder if he's going to create this whole story about after the Green Bay game, what he should have done.
This text is interesting from the 214. Dak and Jerry are kind of like the 2024 election. I just can't wait till it's over so we can stop talking about them. So I think you're going to be disappointed because I agree about the similarities. But what I would have said on the back half of that is they'll figure out a way to keep you talking about it.
Oh, like, the election.
Even when you think it's over. Same thing with the Cowboys. Yeah. Even when you think it's over, they'll figure out a way.
Yeah, the draft's right around the corner.
By the way, isn't Wade Phillips alive today?
Yeah. I think so.
Why not hire him as the head coach? It's the worst mistake you ever made. He's still available.
Did he say he... Okay, okay.
Hire him today.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we power rank the NFL power rankings. Plus, we go across the NFC East. And then there were two next on The Fan.
McLaurin, top of your screen. Looking that way, the throw. That's Terry McLaurin has his second touchdown catch of the day with a head shaker against Deontay Banks.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to go across the NFC East as well as power rank the power rankings. But it is trade deadline day in the NFL. Mike Williams sent to the Steelers for a fifth round pick. And obviously I know now it feels like all things are going to be judged against the deal that the Cowboys made earlier in the day for Jonathan Mingo.
The more and more I see, there are more people going, hold on, what? Even the people that cover the Panthers are like, are you kidding me right now? They really got that for a guy who wasn't even playing on this team? So, look, I don't know.
And I heard Mickey's logic. I hope he's right. That Panthers team sucks. And so I am hoping.
But they can get better.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't really care.
Yeah, next year with the Cowboys' fourth-round pick.
Which could be a high fourth-round pick. But I'm hoping that that's you see Mingo and you're like, oh. So it was just Bryce Young that was dragging him down into football oblivion. I don't know if I actually think that's going to happen.
I think it's Bolivian, Kevin.
Okay. Would you guys like to go across the NFC East first or power rank?
Mike, we're going to go across the NFC East.
Man, that was such a heavy sigh.
I know. All right, okay. I know.
Hey, Washington 7-2, baby.
All right, let's start with Washington. Jaden Daniels has a 77% completion percentage in his first five road games. That is now the all-time record. You know who he passed?
No.
Prescott.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Dak impressive. Prescott was 71.6, and believe it or not, Chad Pennington at 70.5 was next on that list. They have now both been passed by Jaden Daniels.
You know what they say, as long as you have Pennington or Prescott, you got a chance.
That's never heard anybody say that, but maybe. Now, there's going to be more stuff about Jaden Daniels in here, as you can probably guess. Jaden Daniels completed every deep pass he threw against the Giants. He was 3 for 3 for 91 yards and a touchdown on passes that were in the air for more than 20 yards. So we've talked about how amazing his intermediate game has been, but the deep game looking good as well. Now, on deep passes, Jaden Daniels has generated an expected plus 25.5 points added on deep passes this season. That is third best in the NFL. So, like I said just a minute ago, the intermediate game was already clicking. That team is already clicking. And now, if they're getting the deep ball down, well, if Washington makes a secondary trade, holy crap, they're going to look amazing.
Dude, when I watch Jaden Daniels throw the deep ball, I'm just, it's a thing of beauty. It really is. It's gorgeous. And a lot of times I'm like, is that going to McLaurin? Because I need those fantasy points.
I know this isn't a fun question to ask. If Washington offered you a fifth round pick for Mozzie Smith, because maybe their coach liked him,
I'd take it.
Would you take a fifth?
Yeah.
Would you, Corey? If they were like, you know what, Mozzie will help out our depth.
For a fifth?
They don't like him. We'll offer him a fifth and see if they will do it.
And we're in his second year?
Yeah. And I know what Tom Landry said.
He didn't register anything in Sunday's game. I saw one play where he pushed the offensive lineman back into the play, though. So, no, man. I got to have defensive tackles this year, so I got to keep one around.
You're probably not going to like this next
cross. I can move
on
from him whenever it's time to re-sign him, though.
Okay.
That's a reality. I do not have to sign the guy to make my numbers look good because I re-signed all my draft picks.
We'll see how that plays out. Probably not going to like this next defensive point either. Dante Fowler had 2 sacks over the weekend. Now, You might remember.
He played for the Cowboys.
Exactly.
Last year. Jacksonville.
He did play for the Cowboys. This year, he has a forced fumble as well as an interception that he returned for a touchdown, as well as 6.5 sacks, which is top 10 in the NFL. So,
are we the dog and you're just taking our neck and rubbing our noses in it?
Look, we were changing defensive coordinators and the personnel for this defensive coordinator did not match up with the personnel for the last defensive coordinator. And this was an expense that the Cowboys were not willing to pay.
Yeah.
I hope that people understand. I'm not defending it. That's the reality of what happened.
Yeah.
The reality is Mike Zimmer was like, I don't need that player. We got to do other things. We got to build other things. And then unfortunately,
and Jerry
it's
said
not working
you get
right
no
now.
Players.
Yeah.
But I would have been like, he signed a 1-year, $3.25 million deal. You gave Zeke a deal worth up to $3 million. We all knew that wasn't going to work.
Did we all?
Yes. We in this room and adjacent room knew, but the people who make the decisions didn't know. So it doesn't really matter now, does it?
Who's going to be more shocked that Ezekiel Elliott doesn't have a job in 2025? Jerry Jones or Ezekiel Elliott?
Jerry Jones. He's going to be like, did you see him in 2016? I'm like, yeah, no, I did. That was 8 years ago. All right, you want Eagles, Cowboys, or Giants next?
Do I have to spell it out for you?
No.
They're 6-2.
Okay. The Philadelphia Eagles, we've talked about this. We're going to dive into it even more tomorrow. The Philadelphia Eagles have really been on fire since the bye week. This is crazy to me. Now, I know a lot of people don't necessarily use passer rating anymore, and they go more with the QBR, but still. Jalen Hurts is the first player in NFL history with a touchdown pass, rushing touchdown, and passing rating of 115 or more in three straight games. Never happened in the history of football.
Wow. That is very impressive. He's a guy that has that kind of skill set, pretty good quality team around him,
yes.
Really good weapons to work with.
Now, Corey, what was the best?
Weirdo coach.
Yes, fair. Okay, I'm not going to dispute that. What is the best individual play that you saw this weekend by a football player?
It was Saquon Barkley's reverse jump.
Saquon Barkley's reverse jump. Now, for Saquon Barkley, he's the second player in NFL history with at least 110 scrimmage yards in 7 of his first 8 games with a team, joining Pro Football Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson, who did so with the Rams in 1983. So, obviously, pretty sweet company that you're keeping right there.
Can we call it the reverse cowboy? Is that what we would call it?
As long as you don't say cowgirl,
I think like
it's
he's
fine.
Getting on a horse, you know?
Yes, I think that's fine.
Because he's a boy?
No, Mike, I'll tell you some stuff off air about that other thing.
1983 was a really good year for Eric Dickerson in his rookie season.
Okay, that is true.
Yeah.
Who was the president then?
I was 2.
Ronald Reagan.
You went to the museum.
I was 2 years old, Kevin.
That's fair.
Oh, Ronald Reagan! Because I did go to the museum. That's a fact.
Okay.
Your face.
Took over for Jimmy Carter.
Because people were tired of him.
Do you guys want...
He's from Georgia.
Thanks, Mike.
Carter was.
And he did Habitat for Humanity. Did he start that? He's a big part of that.
Yeah, he made peanuts too, I think. He liked peanuts or something.
He's a peanut farmer.
There
Do you guys want Cowboys next or the Giants?
Heck yeah, man. The Cowboys got 3 W's, baby. Still in it. Not officially eliminated.
All right, Corey. I'm going to warn you. A lot of these statistics are going to seem foolish to you because you're going to be like, yeah, but we lost. Okay? I understand that going in. Oso Digizua generated a team-high 7 pressures on 22 pass rushes, the most by any Cowboys defender since week 1. So that's probably not good, right?
That's amazing.
Osa had your most pressure since week 1.
I want him to have pressures.
I do too, but maybe not the most.
Look, you don't have any pass rushers.
That's true, but Micah played past week 1.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
I bet Warren Sapp had the most pressures for Tampa Bay. That worked out just fine.
I bet
Aaron Donald had the most for the Rams.
Okay, that's great. If you think he's going to become one of those two players, you're going to be fine.
I feel like, though,
you
that
probably
we
give him an extension.
Wasn't Atlanta the worst version of this that we played?
Hey!
Even the Giants had a better offensive line.
They were also the worst at getting to the passer. That didn't seem to bother our offensive line. They just had their Olay in it all day. Carl Lawson did, however, also record 2 sacks and a forced fumble. It was his first game like that since 2020. Man, if I'd have told you going into that game, Osa's going to have seven pressures.
Yeah.
Carl Lawson's going to have two sacks and
we're
a forced fumble.
Easy.
Yes, that's exactly what I would think.
From the 817, Ronald Reagan, the actor?
Yes. Yeah. Ronald Reagan, the actor. There's a whole lot about him acting.
Yeah, at that museum.
He used to be in the GE show of the week or whatever it was. I can't exactly remember.
He used to be
remember.
The Gipper.
Looks like the Cowboys sure. have also moved on from Andrew Booth.
Oh, no.
The cornerback who they Speaking traded Deshaun Wright for. No, not John Wilkes Booth. Not on today.
No, I was talking about Calvin Booth, the history of him making that shot. Michael Finley passed him a ball, and then the Seattle Supersonics gave him $30 million.
And the Bennigans I was in watching that game went nuts. Yeah, I remember.
He's now a general manager of a team. I think the Nuggets, right?
Guys, Rico Dowdle has three touchdown catches this season. He is the fourth running back. I told you I realized they lost. He is the fourth running back in franchise history and the first since Emmitt in 1996 with three touchdown catches at this point in the season. And then also, I wanted to tell you another thing. This is another thing I would have thought the Cowboys would have won. The Cowboys averaged 6.5 yards per carry against the Falcons. So I tell you, 6.5 yards per carry, Carl Lawson with multiple sacks and a forced fumble, and Osa with seven pressures. You're like, we're going to win
Super
somehow. But we did not.
Look up, Corey. Because that's where things are going. They're looking up.
When you're this low, that's the only place they can go.
That's true and sad. All right. You want to hear about the Giants? Speaking of true and sad.
Yes.
I can't wait for Thanksgiving. That's going to be a sit
down. That game's going to suck.
I'll tell you what. I'm leaving my parents at halftime.
What are y'all saying? We got Cooper Rush. Everything's going to be fine.
I'm going to take the kids to see a movie on Thursday afternoon.
Okay.
I'm out.
Daniel Jones. Through his first touchdown pass at MetLife Stadium, which is his home stadium, since January 1st of 2023.
Oh, it's an outdoor stadium, though.
And he gets the most hate there. I feel like that's his most disliked stadium.
I agree. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. It can be found in this next statistics. Singular.
Yeah.
Via NFL research, Giants quarterback Daniel Jones, first quarterback since 1991, to have zero or fewer passing yards and a passing touchdown in the first half where he's thrown at least five passes. So consider this. He threw at least five passes. One of them was a touchdown pass, and he had 0 yards passing.
Can I do a little test here with you, Kevin?
Sure.
No touchdowns at home against the Vikings. Two touchdowns on the road against the Commanders. Two touchdowns on the road against the Browns. None at home against the Cowboys.
All right.
Two against the Seahawks on the road. Zero against the Bengals at home.
We saw
zero against the Eagles at home. Zero on the road against the Steelers and two at home against the Commanders. So
he can only,
zero.
Here's what I think should happen. In the next 2.5 hours, the Giants should trade for Bryce Young. Let Bryce Young start all your home games. Let Daniel Jones start all your road games. You got... still probably a below-average quarterback, but less below-average than before.
I don't know. Maybe Daniel Jones turned it around, and now he's the home quarterback. You know,
because well, then don't trade for Bryce Young because he's 0-10 on the road. So don't do that. And then last note I've got for you is Malik Nabers. He had 9 more catches in Week 9. Through 7 games, he has 55 catches. That's behind only Puka Nacua as the only players in NFL history with at least 50 receptions at this point, and he has 55.
How wild is it that now rookie receivers can have that many catches?
It really is.
In a season, be that productive right out of the gate. I mean, just look at right now how many of them have done it, and they've stayed consistent since then. Justin Jefferson's, Jamar Chase's, CeeDee Lamb's. Those guys start that way, and they just immediately get the trust because they're top pick.
And it used to be, the learning curve for that position
it's
is really,
take years.
Really, exactly. All right, as we power rank the NFL power rankings, do you guys want ESPN, NFL, or The Athletic?
The Athletic ranks them the lowest, so let's be optimistic here. The NFL is going to keep them maybe in the top 20. Well, they were like 20 through 22 last time.
Would you have right now, would you have the Cowboys in the top 20?
No. I think I would honestly, being honest here, I would have them probably 27.
Wow. Okay.
I just, right now, what the Cowboys are, I think they beat Jacksonville, but I'm not sure. I think they beat New England. I'm not sure. I think they beat New York. I'm not sure.
Tennessee?
I'll lean towards yes. So now there's four teams that I feel like I can rank them above. But when I went through that list with you guys right now, today,
I would pick them to beat the Raiders, I think.
Yeah, so they're not. I don't think they would beat the Jets. I don't think they'd beat Miami. I don't know. Carolina destroyed them. So.
And they've already lost to the Saints.
Yeah, the Saints. Sorry, you don't care. I meant the Saints. Sorry. Yeah, I would have them ranked about if 32, 31, 30, 29, 28, 27. Yeah, 27, 26 is about where I'd have them ranked.
The bottom three teams, the Patriots at 32, then the Raiders 31, then the Panthers at 30. Since you set it up like this, I'm going to go ahead and read it up to you from there. Then we go the Titans, the Jags, the Browns, the Saints are 26. Then the Giants, the Dolphins, and the Dallas Cowboys are number 23 on the list.
Okay,
It's tough
that's
to
about
argue.
Where they belong.
Yeah.
I think if they were playing Miami, and this is going to sound so stupid. Way to go, stupid Mike. I would have Jacksonville beating them this week.
Okay. All right. Now,
but the other teams, I could see them maybe getting a victory, even though I think their dauber is so down right now.
What?
What's a dauber?
Like the bingo thing?
Like their dauber, their mentals.
Oh, okay. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, me neither.
You know what, you know, your dauber being
the
down
only time I've ever heard dauber, Kevin, is
coach.
Yeah, so but that's like dauber is like, oh, I feel bad. Not like physically, like I'm so down. We're not good.
Okay.
My dauber's, I can't get a hit. I can't. You know, get a touchdown, whatever. Like, I think that their dauber is down.
Dabalina.
So, yeah, Mr. Dabalina beat us last year.
All right. By the way, in case you're curious, ESPN's got the Cowboys at 22, and the Athletic has them at 23 as well. All right. You guys picked NFL, though. How does the top five look for y'all?
You going to go with Detroit because they kicked butt?
I got to stick with the Chiefs.
I bet they go Detroit.
Okay.
Detroit, number one on the list.
How? On the road and beat Green
Chiefs
Bay.
Chiefs are undefeated. Zero losses.
That's true.
They look like they can be defeated.
It's insulting.
Are you personally insulted?
I am.
You feel like they took off their white glove and smacked you across the face with this?
I
do.
I bet their number, you know what? 41-10 for Baltimore this week, but they have three losses. So I'll go with the Chiefs number two.
Chiefs are six. No, I'm just kidding. The Chiefs are second. I'm just kidding. The Chiefs are second. And then it goes Buffalo, Baltimore, and Washington. I wanted to throw this out real quick. From the 559, overreact much? These games have been close. The Cowboys are definitely in the top 20. Hey, I'm not telling you my opinion. I'm telling you NFL.com, The Athletic, ESPN, all of them.
Yeah, we don't do the
say
power ranking.
You are incorrect. And they are not a top 20 team. So take that for what it's worth. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And now it's time for Mike Likes It.
I guess I just got a direct message from Ted Cruz. I got his number, I guess.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, let's read it out loud.
Good for him.
We've had him on the show.
It says, Ted Cruz here. He has a 512 area code. Is that in Texas?
What is that about?
I don't know where 512 is.
Yeah, that's Austin, right?
Okay, well, Ted Cruz is, I guess, hanging out in Austin, texting me right now. I feel like he has bigger fish to fry. I don't know.
I mean, probably not today, right? His just whole idea is to get people to vote for him.
All right. I do have just a relaxing Mike Likes It if this doesn't go well.
Okay.
So you better have it go well. At the Dallas Card Show, Bo Jackson was there. He was one of the guys that was signing there.
Dennis Rodman, yeah.
Right, a major guy. But I think most people that I was talking to was most excited that Bo Jackson was at the Dallas Card Show signing autographs.
Let me ask you a quick question, Mike. If Kyle and the good people at Dallas Card Show have already donated a whole lot for Peace-a-thon, do you think it's in poor taste to go back and say, Can I get a Bo Jackson and a Dennis Rodman thing too?
No, not at all. You have plenty of time.
Yeah, they've already opened the door.
It's like
anyway,
3 weeks away.
That's
as
true.
For Dak Prescott. He's not playing. Like, he can sign stuff. He has an auto pen. Bo Jackson. Back to him.
Yes.
I find this very interesting. I've been saving this and then kind of forgetting because things get going and take a load off has been so fun. Fernando Valenzuela, obviously we saw he passed away right before the World Series. 34 was on the back of the mound for games 1 and 2 in LA. Fernando's family was there for, I believe, game 1. They might have been there for game 2, but a big deal was made about Fernando for game 1, and yep, it should have been because in 1981... he was the greatest pitcher in the history of baseball. Literally, in his first 8 starts, I think Corey had the numbers. He was like 5-0 with a 0.5 ERA. He might have been 8-0, but I think he was 5-0 with like a 0.5 ERA. It was insane how great he was. And they go on and they win the World Series, and Fernando Mania takes off. It was, I guess, in a way, I would say bigger than anybody could imagine if you weren't alive for it. Not that we were really alive for it,
sure,
but it was huge. Bo Jackson, that was huge.
Agreed.
For about a 3-year period, was just huge for Bo Jackson, approximately 86 through 89, right in that area. There was no bigger star than Bo Jackson. The closest was probably Michael Jordan, and they even had like a Michael Nose deal off of the Bo Nose deal. Like
the Bo Nose thing was unbelievable.
Bo Nose was so big for Nike. They're like, well, can we play off of that and do a Michael Nose type of commercial?
Yeah.
Because this Bo Nose thing is unbelievable. Then you have, I'm just talking about the 80s here, Ralph Sampson was a 3-time College Player of the Year. Then he made the All-Star team the first 3 years in the NBA and was awesome. He beat, not by himself, but he beat the LA Lakers on a most impossible shot to go to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
And it looked like Ralph Sampson was overtaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the number one center in the NBA. There's a lot going on with Ralph Sampson. These are only some of the examples. I think Dwight Gooden and Daryl Strawberry with the Mets is another example in 86. In my childhood, Herschel Walker, in my childhood, it felt like there were so many guys that were super hyped and came upon the stage and were unbelievable. They weren't like hyped and then did nothing. They were hyped and did something very special, and we thought, this is the next guy. And there were so many flameouts in the 80s, especially I feel like in baseball and basketball. Now, Bo Jackson was obviously both. Herschel Walker was football. Maybe I'm, you know, you can think
about
it. I was
thinking Brian Bosworth, Dwight Gooden, Ralph Sampson you brought up.
Yeah, so I don't, in today's sports, let's take younger people, for example, from like the year 2000 to 2020, are there people that you can think of that were this big, like a superstar? Ralph Sampson was arguably the best basketball player in the world his last 3 years in college and his first 3 years in the NBA. I won't say the best. He didn't win MVP. But like, it was insane how good he was. And then he hurt his knee and it was over. He went to Golden State and his career pretty much ended.
Okay.
Herschel Walker got traded to the Minnesota Vikings and it was over as a good player in the league. Bo Jackson had moments and then he blew out his hip and it was over. Fernando, it was like, it was this, it just was great, but then it wasn't over. It just went, it kind of just slowly went away and he had a good career. Dr. K, Dwight Gooden,
yes,
it was drugs. Daryl Strawberry, the next Ted Williams, it was drugs. But I'm like, I don't feel like this is happening in our world in the last, let's say, 15 to 20 years like it was in our childhood every year.
Dan and Dave.
Yes.
They flamed out.
No, actually,
that was maybe a hype that never.
That got people fired. The first person who comes to mind, and I just saw somebody text this in as well, Jeremy Lin. But that's a different thing because the hype wasn't there, so the fact that he took off is what made it even crazier. Would you count somebody like RG3? Because RG3, he came in with a lot of steam. That first year, I remember I was watching, I was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Like, we're in a lot of trouble.
And with Andrew Luck with him in the same draft.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck was making the playoffs, had a big comeback in the playoffs, and you thought, well, it's just a matter of time. And it's like, he's actually having success. He's winning games in the regular season. He's winning some in the playoffs. And then it's like, I quit.
What about Derrick Rose?
Great, great example.
Does that count?
It's injury. It's very, in a way, he lasted a lot longer. In a small way, the world had changed by the time college basketball for Derrick Rose.
True.
But, like, he did have a little bit of a Ralph Sampson career. So I guess it's maybe more than I think. I just think of the 80s as so many big-time superstars that were just immediate great and then immediate flame out.
Yeah, I thought... Like, there really was a time for Derrick Rose, I'm not exaggerating, where I thought he was going to run neck and neck with LeBron. Like, just in terms of, I'm going to be that dude and be awesome.
Did you say Mark Fidrich?
No. Yeah, 19, Mark Fidrich.
Like 19-9 to start and then just disappear.
Yes,
I didn't see
hurt.
That. I just remember.
And he was just so crazy. He'd talk to the baseball. He'd run out to center field after the center fielder made a play and go shake his hand, like, good play. Like, he just had, like, this... charisma and like insanity that was fun to watch.
But I don't know if this counts, but what he did in college and then just it never worked. I guess he won a playoff game against Pittsburgh. It was Tim Tebow.
Ooh, Tim Tebow. That was the most hype
of everything.
Because he was an objectively great player in college.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
And he did go in the first round. Now, I know a lot of people were like, I don't know about that, but
I would put him more in a category. This isn't fair to this person. I'd put him more in the Christian Laettner, Danny Ferry category. Like, they were great in college. Everybody had some questions about how great they could be at the next level. And then they was answered like, this level is too athletic, maybe too high of a level for them to be as successful. They can now. Tim Tebow really didn't survive at that level.
Because Tim
Laettner made an all-star team. Danny Ferry played probably 12 years in the NBA. They survived, but they went from superstar, going to lead a franchise, to like, they're just kind of a role player on good teams.
You would say Tebow, Vince Young, Manziel, for different reasons, kind of all in the same boat then, in that college, you were just like, wow. And they peaked there and then weren't able to elevate at that next level. But
I would probably say Vince Young more because I guess I just thought Vince Young's game could translate way better to the pros. Like, I saw Johnny Manziel and I was like,
there's a lot of hope
we'll
in those throws.
See. But with Vince Young, I was like, I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah, you'll hear people today. I know people will remember him for Converse commercials and Grandmama, but most people say like Larry Johnson was a better version. And this is tough. They're like, he was a better version of Charles Barkley. But as soon as he got hurt, it just went downhill in a hurry. And he became a role player for the Knicks, where in Charlotte, he was just like, this dude's going to be first team, second team, all NBA for a while. But injury ruined him. Some of them are injury. Some of them are, the drugs in the 80s that would hurt guys.
This is an interesting contemporary one. I haven't thought about this player for a while. From the 972, Yasiel Puig. Man, I feel like he was a sensation for a minute there.
Dude, the hits, the home runs, the yell Puig whenever he hits all of them. And then he threw one. He threw a dude out at third base from the wall, and it looked like it was effortless to do it. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I guess there are of this generation. I like that people are chiming in here, because I was just thinking, man, as a kid, the Fernando thing kind of hit me. Of like, gosh, I just remember all of these big things and so many things would flame out. I know this is different. I bring it up. I probably shouldn't bring it up as like kind of a joke at times, but like Lynn Bias was supposed to be. Can Michael Jordan and Lynn Bias have the same Magic Bird situation that we were living out in the 80s? And Lynn Bias immediately dies after getting drafted by the Celtics second overall. But I just, that Fernando thing kind of hit me as like, gosh, the 80s had so many quick superstars that then flamed out. But I like that people are chiming in that, yes, over the last 10 plus years, there have been guys that have had similar stories.
I don't know what that look is, Corey.
From the 817, Jerry Jones.
Man, you know, if you classify it like that, he didn't really come onto the scene and dominate.
He started off, I mean, they went away. The second, it was multiple years after, but Sorry about that. Man. Yeah, Jerickson Profar was supposed to hit two grand slams every
and
other game.
I guess that was hype that, like, I guess that falls into, to me, another category.
Hype created.
Just a hype that, like, well, that didn't
It was
work
based
out.
On nothing. Yeah.
But I'm talking about guys that Doc Gooden
they did
at
it.
19 and 20 years old was leading the league in strikeouts both of those years. He's winning Rookie of the Year, winning Cy Young. He looked like Paul Skeens couldn't compete. I'm going to be honest.
Like Zeke.
Paul Skeens, whatever he does this upcoming season, will not even compete with how good Doc Gooden was his first 2 years in Major League Baseball. It's not even competitive. That's how good Doc Gooden was his first 2 years in Major League Baseball.
What a fascinating edition of Mike Likes It. I did, in fact, enjoy that. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
All right, let's have a little chat about what CeeDee Lamb could be. And don't do this and find out next on The Fan.
Oh.